Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Time for a little NBA talk. Our buddy from CBSSports.com on to talk both playoffs, and we'll mix in some draft stuff. They had the NBA draft lottery this week and the combine in Chicago. Reed Forgraves spent a good chunk of his week in Chicago. What was the best meal you had in Chicago this week, Reed?
You ever been to a place called Purple Pig? It is unreal. I purposely chose my hotel that would be like two blocks from there. It was my 40th birthday last week.
Nice.
And got to celebrate. Well, it was 2 days early when I went to Purple Pig. Purple Pig is like just basically a bunch of meat place. It's amazing.
Purple Pig. No, I can honestly say I've A, never been there, and B, never heard of it. What is the main choice of the menu that you so indulged in?
Meats, 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 my friend. Like, they have, like, meats everywhere. They got, like, funky pork belly and, yeah, like, sort of, like, upper class. Not upper class, but, you know, like highly regarded food. But
okay.
It was, had to wait an hour and a half for a table, but it was worth every second of it.
All right. You didn't do the Rosebud in Chicago, which is one of my favorite Italian restaurants. You did the gluttonous meat-eating thing.
I mean, like, yeah, be gluttonous. 40th birthday, man.
More power to you. All right. Other than the time you spent chowing down at the Purple Pig, you also spent some quality time behind closed doors, locked in, without your cell phone or any way to communicate with the outside world. You were a group of the media that was inside when they did the draft lottery. And you wrote a fun article about New Orleans getting the first-round pick and Gentry, their coach, and how he handled knowing he was going to be adding a superstar player, which I'll ask you about in a second. But first, what'd you do for that time that you couldn't say anything, that you were segregated away from the rest of the world without communication devices? What did you guys talk about, the final Game of Thrones episode?
Yeah, just to, like, check our pockets like roughly 78 times to be like, where's my phone? Oh, no. by the way, like, cool experience. I wish I could be without my phone for like the next 3 weeks. But unfortunately, in this job, that ain't going to happen. But also a cool experience just to see, like, it was 2 hours in there. And you get to schmooze. Each team sends a representative. And sometimes it's just kind of a random dude. Sometimes it's their head coach. Sometimes it's high up front office guy. But we get to schmooze with them, which is really cool. And then you just get to see, like, the very real tension in there. When they fire up that ping pong ball machine, which looks kind of like a big, fat water cooler, it gets silent in there. Those guys are stressed out. You can cut the tension with a knife. And it was pretty special. Like, seeing Alvin Gentry's reaction was one of the more authentic reactions I've seen in sports in a very long time. Because that guy went through some crap this year. And to see him get rewarded from it, whether it's luck or good karma or whatever, was really cool. And to see his colleagues be excited for him, like genuinely excited. 13 teams lost, one team won. One team got Zion Williamson. But because he's Alvin Gentry, because he's one of those authentic, kind, well-respected lifers in this business, the other 13 teams were joyful for him. That was really, really cool to see.
Now, after they determine that New Orleans is getting a first pick, Memphis getting a second, Knicks getting a third, Lakers jump up, get the fourth, it's over and done with. Now you got to wait because ESPN's going to put the broadcast together. Were you allowed to examine the ping pong balls? Because for once and for all, I want to put the rest, the whole thing is rigged and it's all determined, predetermined ahead of time. Did they allow you to actually touch the merchandise, that there weren't weighted ping pong balls, so that somehow, some way, you'd have to write a pretty damn good story that giving New Orleans the number one pick what was in the best interest of the NBA?
No, we did not. But to be fair, we didn't really ask. I mean, I guess if you're looking to think like rigging, like if they rigged it, why wouldn't they send Zion to New York?
Right.
And I guess if there's a reason to rig it, it's because that New Orleans franchise is in trouble. You get new ownership. You got this mess with AD. You have a city that's really been punched in the mouth the past, 14 years since Katrina. And it seems to me entirely within the realm of reason that AD leaving could have been a death knell for that franchise. I really feel like the loser on whatever it was, Tuesday night, might have been Seattle, because you could easily imagine that franchise bottoming out 3 years from now, boom, they're off to Seattle. That doesn't sound outside the realm of possibility at all. But, I mean, as far as the rigging goes, it's such a complicated process. I can't imagine how they would rig it. They got 1,001 different combinations for each team. And they got an auditor from Ernst & Young, and they got the NBA legal counsel, and the balls are by an outside lottery specialist company. They're weighed, and they're examined, and they're certified, and they're put in this sealed plastic box. Then they bust them out and toss them in there. And I just – the way they do it is, like, New Orleans had 60 combinations of numbers. Those four – each ping pong ball, there's 14 ping pong balls, numbered 1 through 14. That totals up to 1,001 different combinations that could come out. New Orleans had 60 of them, and the moment the first number came out, it was a high number. And once you knew it was a high number, it was like, well, Knicks might not get this. This might go to some weird team that nobody thought about. It is kind of funny. As much as we considered the New Orleans Pelicans situation over the past several months, I can't think of anyone who's like, well, maybe if they win the lottery, things could turn around. Except for David Griffin, by the way. David Griffin was convinced they would win. I don't know how. I don't know if he's got, like, black magic or something. Or maybe he's got an inside man in the ping pong ball industry. But he pulled it off. That's 3 years for David Griffin because he had those two number one picks with the Cavs, too.
Yeah, he's done well in the draft lottery. Which, by the way, Trajan Langdon was named New Orleans general manager there. So Griffin's the president. Is he really the general manager? Griffin's going to make all the calls in New Orleans going forward, right?
I mean, I think it's a matter of, like, the top strategy man who's really overseeing everything with David Griffin, and the guy who's a little bit more down in the nitty-gritty in Trajan Langdon. But my guess is those two know each other very well, and they're going to work hand-in-hand.
Fair enough. We're talking to our buddy Reed Forgrave, CBSSports.com, NBA Insider, Draft Insider as well. I had a caller last hour, and he just was a Zion Williamson hater. He's a New Orleans fan who wants them to trade the first pick. And, oh, by the way, but then turn around and sign Kawhi Leonard. So his thought process was all over the place. And I said, you just don't like Zion Williamson. That's what it is. And he said, yeah, he doesn't think his body's going to allow him to do what you need to do to be a superstar in the NBA. Give me your scouting report on Zion Williamson. Talent level in New Orleans compared to expectations. How is the Zion story going to play out over the next 5 years?
Yeah, I mean, the expectations are through the roof. I'm not sure if a player has had these sort of expectations on his shoulders since LeBron James entered the league. And while the LeBron player comparisons are off, the one comparison that really fits with LeBron and Zion is that we've never seen a player like this before, which makes him really hard to project. Is he a Draymond Green-like player, at least on the defensive end? You know what he could be? He could be a better, a more skilled, more athletic version of Julius Randle on the offensive end. So that's 21-12. And he could be Draymond on the defensive end. That player is a top five MVP player within the next 5 years. Like, that's the ceiling for Zion. He really is. He has that potential. My worries about him are, you know, altogether they're minor. I would be absolutely thrilled. Just, I mean, you saw Alvin Gentry's reaction. He was through the roof. Not that he got the number one pick, but that he was getting Zion Williamson with the number one pick. But my two issues with Zion are, one, that we don't know how to project him because we've never seen a player like this before. And two, we don't know how his body will withstand an 82-game NBA season plus playoffs. We saw him get injured in that Duke game against North Carolina in February. That was a freak injury. But that did kind of make you wonder, right? Zion is, he's essentially a defensive end who plays basketball and plays it at a very high level. He plays basketball somewhat recklessly, in the best of ways. He plays without abandon. You got to wonder if he needs to have someone tell him, hey, you need to dial back the intensity 10% in order to preserve yourself throughout an 82-game season. So I worry about those two things. Are those worries, do they give me any pause in taking him or in wanting to trade that pick and Kawhi Leonard, which sounds really realistic, by the way? No, not in the league.
You made a comparison, and I kind of like your Randle at the offensive end comparison. Oh, by the way, if Randle were to stay in New Orleans, they would be teammates, and I think that's counterproductive, so you got to figure that out a little bit. But he is, you're right, he's a far superior defensive player. But just total game, total package, end of the line, what kind of a player is he going to be when his career is done with? Who in the NBA would you compare him to?
And that's the problem with Zion, is there isn't a comparison. I mean, if there is one comparison, it's Blake Griffin. But I know this is hard to believe, but like early Blake Griffin, more skilled, more athletic, but shorter. He might be a Charles Barkley. That's sort of a comparison that's been talked about.
That's the one that I've been using for 6 months.
Yeah, I think it's a good comparison. But that's the thing, like he's going to be Zion. And I do think when all is said and done, one of the most important things about Zion, what we've seen throughout this season of college basketball, throughout this draft process, is that he's an incredible basketball talent. He really is. And a couple years ago when I saw him in AAU, I was like, man, he's a great athlete, but not yet a basketball player. He's a basketball player now. He has worked it in the perfect way. But his cultural pull might outpace his basketball skills. Like, that's why I think so many people were excited about him being in New York City. The most, you know, the biggest draw in the NBA outside of LeBron and Steph Curry. There might be a couple others, but I do think, like, Zion's going to be, as a rookie, in the top five as biggest draws in the NBA. That's enormous. We don't see that for guys who, especially in this one-and-done era, where you don't see guys playing 3 or 4 years in college where you really get to know them. It's pretty special. It really is.
Agreed. I know you got to take in time at the combine as well. Zion's not there. Ja Morant's not going to participate in something like that. The guys who are at the top of the draft don't usually do anything as far as playing at the combine. But it can have an effect on the draft. Guys who are second rounds can move up to first. Guys who are late first can get a little closer to the lottery. Who to you stood out this week and you said, all right, here's where I thought he was going to be prior to this. And now when we get to the end of June, we're going to hear his name called earlier than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, so much of the stuff with the combine is just kind of around the margins where people can jump up. I mean, there's this sudden buzz around Taco Fall, the 7'6" guy from University of Central Florida as a legit NBA prospect. I mean, he's not going to go in the first round, I can't imagine. But he's an intriguing player who got some buzz. That's very much like a marginal thing. Where the important stuff tends to happen at the combines is behind closed doors. Guys who can absolutely wow people with character and personality. Guys like Grant Williams from Tennessee. That's one name that people talk about as such a high character guy. Whereas you look at someone like the kid from USC, Kevin Porter Jr., there have been like character questions around him. It's really important for him to go into those interviews with team executives and quell those concerns because they're going to ask him very directly about it. Someone like Romeo Langford had a really rough year at Indiana because of the team around him, because of his thumb injury, and frankly, because of he's a very stoic personality on the court. I got to interview him in Chicago, and I asked him about that, and he had a great explanation for it. He's like, my mom always taught me to be respectful, so I kind of keep within myself on the court, but trust me, in my mind, I'm as intense of a guy as you can imagine. Saying those things to team executives, I think can quell their concerns about a player. The one-on-one workouts that they'll have with individual teams that are targeting them. Things like that, I think, are far more important than the combine. Often the combine is just kind of a cattle call, to be honest.
All right, we've got a month till the draft, and we'll certainly get you back on, and we'll break down some of the players more specifically. But I do want to fire one last question for you, and we're pretty much out of time. You probably didn't expect to get this question today. It just happened to pop up to a guy I heard on a Philly radio station yesterday. Do you believe Andre Iguodala has a chance to be a basketball Hall of Famer?
Ooh, it's a great question. Maybe. Like when you see guys who are role players on championship teams, I mean, the finals MVP, he's probably going to be the part of his fourth championship team. Most championships since, I don't even know who would be, like I guess since the Bulls, because like the Spurs championship run was so spread out.
Right.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance. I mean, I think I was having an argument with a friend who was wrong last night about, I was like, Draymond Green is a for sure Hall of Famer. This guy's like, no, he's not. No, Draymond Green is a for sure Hall of Famer. Andre Iguodala is a question mark Hall of Famer, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least, especially if he wins one more title. that he is. I mean, the guy is an elite defender. He's the perfect role player for this Warriors team. They wouldn't have won as many championships without him.
I'm an Iggy fan, so I'd like to think that he could if I had to vote today, and his career isn't over yet. And you're right, you had another championship ring, and it certainly increases his resume. I would say no, but I would root yes. And it is a fun question. You gave us a fun answer. You gave us all fun answers to all the questions we asked. Reed, good stuff. What is it again? A purple pig? I got to remember if I get to Chicago. Is that the name of the joint?
Man, it's amazing. They don't take reservations, so you'll have to wait, but that's okay. It's totally worth it.
Good stuff. Reed, thanks. I appreciate you hopping on.
All right, thanks, Jody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.